Let's get back into Revelation. We left off in Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to begin, Lord willing, the Church of Pergamos this evening. But I thought as I was coming up here, the Lord just encouraged me again to remind us why we're studying this. First of all, it's the Word of God, and that's obvious. Second of all, it's a wonderful salutation that the Lord gave us, that it was blessed for us to get and partake into this study. Here it is, that we would break open this book and allow the Holy Spirit to speak His words to us, because this truly is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The world, again, tries to study this in a manner of science and all of these different things, so they'll pull out different topics or subjects and all. But this is the revelation of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the beautiful thing about this wonderful Word of God, but especially Revelation. And in studying about these seven churches, I'd hope that we're encouraged and understand that the Lord is speaking to us. That we would have an ear, let Him hear, let Him listen to this message, this call that's going out to us. Because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And I believe He's coming soon. And believe it or not, in your life, even though people may say, well, we've been waiting 2,000 years for Him, or how long has it been? No, you haven't been waiting 2,000 years for Him. I don't know who the oldest one in this church is, and I don't know when you really started looking, but you know, maybe 50, 60 years at the most, and that's wonderful, but that's just a moment. And where I'm going with it again, and you've heard me say this, and the Lord's just encouraged me, you're going to meet Him soon, no matter. Amen. And the Word of God is encouraging us to meet Him as a saint in Smyrna, which we met, we read about last week, which is the overcomer that passes before the coming of the Lord. It's the saints that will... The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, if we're the Church of Philadelphia, which we haven't gotten to yet, that's the other overcoming church. So there's two of them. And the Lord is encouraging us through these words to be ready, to be prepared to meet Him. And Brother Paul said it so wonderfully, and he just said, them that love His appearing also. And really, it comes down to that. This is a love match between you and the Lord. We've heard it said before in this wonderful meeting. It is. It's falling in love with Jesus Christ. And I don't believe you can really, there's love at first sight with people, don't get me wrong. But I don't believe you ever really fall in love with someone until you know them. And I mean, when you really, really know them. And then, if that hits you and you love them, then you're really in love. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus Christ, by His grace, is speaking to us in these words, and really throughout the whole Word of God, but especially in Revelation, is He's encouraging us that it's real. This isn't just some study book. This is something that's encouraging us today. You are part somewhere in those seven churches. Okay? You can't remove yourself from it. You're somewhere in there. And by the grace of God, He's encouraging us, come and get that high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So let's start into Pergamos. Backing up just a bit again. Ephesus, we saw, was the church, the believers that were represented, that are really on the cusp of winning His best. But it says, I have something against you. You left your first love. So there was that first positioning that the Lord is encouraging again. Come on now. Fully go after Me. It's going to be worth it all. I assure you. And then the very next church that we read about was Smyrna, showing that that was the movement up from that church. Those that went on with Christ, hallelujah, that really got back into that love of the first love, moved into the church of Smyrna. And again, that is the highest rank or the first rank. Now, tonight we're going to start with Pergamos, which are those that were at Ephesus, in a sense, the Ephesus saints, that didn't move up, they moved down. It was the continuing falling away from the things of God. And it's true. I believe you move some way in this life. I really do. I believe Christians either move more toward Him or you move away from Him. I don't believe you can ever really be neutral in the things of God. I guess we can in a way. But I believe in this, it's showing that you're either getting more complacent towards the things of God or you're moving into more fellowship. So let's get into Pergamos. Praise God. Pergamos means the unfaithful wife. It also means much married. Pergamos, again, is the continuing falling away from Ephesus. And it says here, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write these things, saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. And we'll continue reading through the 17th verse, then we'll go back. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast My name, hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas, which was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. So again, here we are in the 12th verse. To that angel of the church in Pergamos, the minister to Pergamos, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Now, we went back and we talked about this last week, Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. The sharp sword is the word of God. It's going to bring out what's there. It's going to cut through. It's going to decide what the very intent of the heart is. He knows you. God knows everything about you, from the hair of your head to your thought afar off, your upsetting, your down rising, whatever it's going to be. It's God's. He knows what's there. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. But again, this is judgment time. You look and see how the Lord spoke to these others through His angel. From the very first Ephesus in verse 1, He says, to he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. There's peace in that, you see. In the 8th verse of Smyrna, it says, he saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. This is wonderful. This is the reminder of this is Jesus the Savior. This is Jesus, hallelujah, the one, the rewarder. Now look what it's coming at to these folks. You better be ready. The word's coming. And it's sharp. And it's going to divide. And really what this wonderful Word of God is telling these people is, I want to separate you from the world. You're getting into that world so much. I want to separate you. And the only thing that's ever going to separate us from the world, it's not ourself. It's not going to be anything that I truly, in a sense, decide for me or I'm going to do. It's the Word of God in my life. The Word of God will always separate you. If you go with God, the world is not going to follow you. If you go with God, the world is going to chastise you. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to think that you're a nut in a lot of ways. But this is the Word of God that truly separates us unto the Son, which is the Word. Praise His name. He says here in the 13th verse, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read about Satan's seat. And that's Ephesians chapter 2. And that's in verse 2. It says, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world. And that's every one of us in a sense. According to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. He is the prince, in a sense, of this world, the prince of this air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. The world is where Satan's seat is. You choose every day whom you're going to serve. You're going to serve God, you're going to serve mammon. You can't play both sides. You're either living promise or you're not. You're either living in faith by the grace of God, or you're not. I've seen so many Christians time after time. They think, including myself, that we can play in the world. And yet I can come back and have that full fellowship with God all the time. It doesn't work that way. I need to decide I will go. It has nothing to do with being accepted. I'm accepted. Absolutely I'm accepted. I'm seated over there. But it's just like Brother Hill pointed out so many times. There you are with the crown on your head and where you're sitting in that pig pen in the mud. It's true. He's got a kingdom for us to dwell in. David finally realized it when he says, I'm going into the house of the Lord and I'm going to dwell there forever. Right now. I'm not going to wait. I want to go in now. I want to live promise right now. I want to live my birthright right now. I've got a title deed up on high. And it's mine now. See, that's the problem with Christianity. We think it's just for someday. I am a son of God right now. I am seated in the heavens with Christ Jesus right now. And that's where we're going to read in the sixth verse. What does he say here of chapter 2 of Ephesians? He says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you see, we have two places that we can be. We can either be, and this is as Christians in a sense. Let me tell you something. Lot was living in a Sodom and Gomorrah, wasn't he? And he was just Lot. Saved just as much as you or just as much as me. It's the truth. But what did he do with his life? He wasted it. And it wasted his family. It wasted his testimony. He wasted his inheritance. He wasted all of it. He was a pauper. It truly became, in a sense, he thought of his right as a mess of pottage. And he did. And by the grace of God, Abraham, hallelujah, praise God that we can be of his seed. But I want to go after God like that. I want to believe in him. I want to believe that, you know what, that land is for me. It's not for someday. It's not just a figment of imagination. That's my promise. That's my promise. Hallelujah. And he has that for his children. And we can rest in that. So again, it says, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holds fast my name. Now this is obviously a compliment, but at the same time, if you really read about Pergamos, it means much married. And in a sense, if you really read this, it's thou holdest fast my name. She's really like an unfaithful wife. She claims it, but she doesn't mean it. And hast not denied my faith. Oh, with my lips, but yet she lives no testimony. Isn't that truly like so many of God's people? It can be so much like us that we live. We don't live the very testimony of God. We don't live the very power of God in our life. And again, it's not because God is limited in any way. It's because we're limiting ourselves. We're limiting God working in me. I want to go on to the high calling of God. Hallelujah, that is in His Son. But I'm going to tell you, I need to be willing to go. Are we really saying tonight, brothers and sisters, all that thou sayest, I will do? Is that real to you? All that thou sayest, I will do. Not just parts, not just pieces, not just some things that may be agreeable for me at the moment. Or because I'm around so-and-so or my grandpa and grandma and they're real spiritual people, so I need to be that way. And I appreciate you respecting your grandma and grandpa, don't get me wrong. God wants you full-time. He wants you 24/7. He does. He wants to work that good work in you. All pleasing. Hallelujah. Like we were reading about this last week. The perfect and complete will of God. That's attainable in Jesus Christ. Obviously, it's not attainable in any one of us in our flesh. But in God, it sure is. Hallelujah. And He wants that performed in our life. Praise God. But it says here, and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas, and Antipas means against all, who was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Now this wonderful brother, history even writes a little bit about him, and they believe that he was killed among them because of his testimony. Because he was a minister of the truth, and they didn't want to hear that at that time. They wanted to continue to stay where Satan was, as opposed to this sweet brother that was there giving them the truth, living the testimony, and saying, I'm going to tell you something, come out from among them and be ye separate. That's what the Word of God can do for your life. That's the Word of God that can give you something in your life. We're wasting it when we don't go after Christ. I'm going to tell you, you may think, we may think that, oh, it's so good to be living this way. Or, oh, I just, you know, I'm going to do this for just a while. I'm going to go have my fun. How many young people say that? I'm thankful to God that I was a knucklehead at certain times, but I appreciate that God was so gracious and so faithful to my life. I didn't need to do that kind of stuff. You know, you're going off to college. I'm going to meddle a little bit for some of these that might be going off to college. You don't need to be in a fraternity or sorority. You don't need to do that stuff. That's promoting something that's of the world. I'm going to tell you that. I'm not getting legal on you. I'm just going to tell you it's the environment. You put yourself in certain environments, brothers and sisters, and I don't care how willing the Spirit is, your flesh is weak. And you're going to sink to the lowest level. And it's even as adults, and we know that. You know, we go to as business people. I remember when I was early in my business career, they said, "Oh, Jess, you got to go to these certain parties and these certain things." Thankful I had a dad that told me I didn't need to go to those things. And you know what? Didn't go. They looked at me kind of funny and said, "Oh, well, you know, you're not going to go to that nice hotel and this great dinner or, you know, a box seat at such and such or whatever it would be." I said, "No, because I believe the Lord doesn't want me to go there." Think about it. I want to get on the lovely. How about you? The good report, the pure, the true. Those are the things, by the grace of God, that He can put in our life. But it's a choice. It really is. We're fighting the good fight of faith every moment. And things are pulling at us, and it's just the enemy that wants to get in there. And we're going to talk about a little bit tonight about that leaven that gets in there. Most importantly, in the Word of God, what people try to put into that. But even in our daily lives, see, that's the thing. We're fighting that good fight of faith. We don't need to go that way. But there's choices out there. Wondrous choices, as this wonderful brother Antipas, who said, "Against all" was the name that his name meant. Isn't that amazing? Do you know you're against all? You're against all that world out there, believe it or not. You're a warrior. You're in a battle. You're in a fight. Hallelujah. That's why he talks about the armor of God. Don't kid yourself. And you're going to get mowed over if you don't have the armor of God on your life. I guarantee you. There is no way you could ever battle the devil. You couldn't. He'll kill you in a moment. He'll destroy your life. He'll rob you of everything. He'll trick you in a moment. He'll think that he is your best friend. And then he'll destroy you bit by bit. He will. Don't let him do it. Don't need to. Don't want to. I want to live joy unspeakable. I was reading about peace and joy. And the Lord told me I could have all of it right now. Can you imagine that? You know He's got benefit right now? Can you imagine that, huh? Most Christians don't know that. Oh, you're living for the time when Jesus comes? Sure, I'm living for the time when Jesus comes. But I'm living heaven by living that. Hallelujah. I want to see Him. And that gives me such joy and that hope and that knowledge that everything is by the grace of God for me. Hallelujah. And what He wants to do. But in the 14th verse, it says here again, "But I have a few things against thee." Now he's going to really cut to the chase here. "Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication." If you want to go read about this, this is Numbers 25. But basically this doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak, basically they wanted to go ahead and curse the people, the children of Israel. But they couldn't curse them because God was for them. But the stumbling block that they put down before there was to tempt them to get them away from God. And I'm going to tell you something. We're just like they are, so let's not criticize them too much. But you know what? Anytime you laid an old stumbling block before those Israelites, they always stumbled, didn't they? I'm telling you, it started right when they were getting out of there, out of Egypt, huh? Sitting there, you let us out here to kill it, didn't you, Moses? See, we would have been better laying out in there. The sea parts and they walk across on dry ground. Isn't that us? Huh? How long have we been in this meeting and we've seen truly miracle after miracle after miracle in this meeting? And I'm talking about greater than any Red Seas. You know in your life by the grace of God, you have seen things, you have experienced things, and the things are faith. And it's been evident in our life. The substance has been there. You've seen the walk of testimony in people that have walked before us. The different homegoings, the homegoing of Brother Hill. But yet we're so quick to forget that, aren't we? Because we just want to stay naturally in this flesh in unbelief. It's got to be stimulated 24/7 that I've got to see something. I've got to experience something. I've got to feel it. Get away from that stuff. Get away from it. That's what the world's after. Oh, go show me all the swords and the shields in the bottom of the Red Sea. Oh, I want to see Noah's Ark. They found 50 of them now, huh? The pieces of the cross are as big as New Jersey. I'm telling you, that's how silly it is. Yeah. I don't want to be a Thomas. I want to believe. And all points towards it. If I've believed in vain, I'll tell you what, I've lived a marvelous life. Marvelous life. But I haven't. It's so real. So good. And when I know that, the things that I can do to my wonderful Savior is just to take this cup that we're doing this evening and we're drinking of His cup of salvation. Praise His name. But this doctrine of Balaam, you'll read in Jude 11 as well too. That's Jude 11. This was the prophet for hire, in a sense. The prophets of Balaam, or the rewards of Balaam, we should say, are money. Think about what they're saying today. It's prosper and be in health, isn't it? You think about that. It's popularity. Remember old Demas, he loved this present world more than the things of God. It gets to the point where everything gets watered down so much that it truly becomes good God, good devil, good everybody. We've heard that before. Everything's okay. Jesse, why do you stand so much for the truth? I've heard that. Why do we have to go in and really talk about, and I've had few people challenge me in my short time in the ministry, can you imagine that, about the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Now, brother, what does that really matter? It matters everything. I'm going to tell you something. If you want the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to qualify and quantify this statement, just because you were saved. Now, I do know people not at the same time, but right after they were saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. But the evidence is going to be speaking in tongues. And it is. And you think about these silly ones, it'll say, oh, well, brother, that was just for them to go out there and speak in those other people's languages. That's what it was for. Paul could already do it. What did he need it for? And why did he say, forbid ye not to speak in tongues? And why did he say, I thank God I speak more than you all? And then why did they even have it in the church and talking about speaking in tongues and then interpretation? Why do you think of that? Do you see how stupid? And it is. It's just stupid to think that tongues were just for people to go out. And that's how they just wash it off, just like that, immediately. Well, it was just so that they could go witness in other languages. God reveals Himself even in nature. He don't need language. He don't. It's called revelation. And He can get it done. And He'll get it done. I get too many places in this, but oh my. If you don't stand for something, you'll eventually stand for nothing. And where does it end? Where does it end? I was just telling a man the other day, I think you heard me say it, we were talking about that, about being filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, well, I heard some people tell me that I don't have to speak in tongues. I said, I believe you find it, if you look hard enough, you'll find people that tell you get to heaven if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. They'll tell you anything you want to hear. Go look around enough and you'll find it. You'll find it. There's itching ears, there's a bunch of philosophers out there. A lot of vain deceit going on right now too. But if I'm going to lay claim to this, it tells me there's one way. I don't believe the Bible works in grays and abstracts. I believe it's very clear. I believe it's very defined. I believe it's very simple. There's a definite simplicity in the gospel. I believe as we enter into this in faith, and especially when we enter into it in the infilling of the Holy Ghost, with Him as our teacher, with Him as the one that can bring us into all truth, these things start to become light to us, don't they? It's kind of like when we sat in math class all those years thinking, oh, I just can't see this. And then it was like, the light shone. I've got it. The Pythagorean theorem makes sense. What was that about? See, I can't remember that. Thank God I forgot most of that stuff. But I'm telling you, this is it, that I can know the dimensions of His love. I always love that word, the height, the breadth, the length, and the depth. Man, that's everything about that love. That's what I want to know about. Not encouraging you, Ben, to go out and tell your teachers, well, I don't need to know about this stuff. You do it as heartily as under God. But praise His name for this. So again, this doctrine of Balaam was just getting these people to get away from the Word of God. The children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. And fornication is really, if you think about it, it is very simple on the surface, but there's a much deeper meaning here. It's just leaving the truth. It's believing a lie. It's... You think about the Word of God, how we even talked about Ruth. The children of Israel weren't supposed to go in there to them Moabites. Samson wasn't to go to the Philistine and look for a wife there, was he? It says, be ye not unequally yoked together. That's a huge thing. Huge. Especially in courtship. I'm going to tell you, protect what you have by the grace of God. Stand in defense of who you are. It's not going to work with an unbeliever. It's not going to happen with an unbeliever. And I'm going to tell you something. If you really know the deeper things of God, that person you hook up with better know the deeper things of God. It helps. Believe you me, it helps. Because you're going to hit times when you're going to look at one another and you're going to say, what did we do? How did we get here? Or why did we get here? But you know why? It's just God. It's God. And it is. Now, you take that even further. Think about the people that you socialize with. And I'm not telling us to be exclusivists or things of that nature. But you understand. Let me tell you something. Your life is short. Only those things done for Christ are going to last. I know by the grace of God, and He's shown me through my life, that when I'm witnessing or I'm fellowshipping with people, there may be people that don't believe in the Lord that I'm around, sure. Even whether it's the job or whatever it may be, I may have to go into that situation. But you know what? Cut that fellowship off or allow the Lord to cut that off. Don't let it waste your time. A lot of times we make excuses to be in these certain groups because, well, I'm going to go in there and save them eventually. When God has already told you, it's done. You've planted, you've put that seed there, now get out, go. And sometimes He even tells you, don't cast His pearl among swine and just get on out of there. I see some heads going down. That's God speaking to you. Don't waste your life. We're after His best, I believe. And it is. It's a narrow way. And you can maybe say it's too much for me. I don't want to say that. It's going to be worth it all. I love Him. And it opens up so much more. Hallelujah. It's so much more real. It's not fake. It's not superficial. It's not we're just getting by and that type of thing. It's deep. It's beyond. It's a peace that passes understanding, isn't it? Hallelujah. We just communicate with one another. I'm so close to you all. There's people I may know better in the natural. But I know I'm closer to my brothers and sisters in this meeting than anybody. I can sit with you. I may not know you hardly at all, in a sense. But we're the same. Not just of the same body, I hope, but of the same cut. Right about here. Oh my, praise His name. Isn't that a wonderful thought? All right, I don't want to get bogged down. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now we read about the Nicolaitans back over there in Ephesus, and it was precious because it says, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which the Lord said, I hate those deeds. Remember, a lot of people will say, well, see, the Lord hates those people. He didn't hate those people. He hated the deed. God loved the world. He sent His Son. Know that. That's why, by the grace of God, we need to have that same love. We want to love people. We do. All people. We want to have compassion. But God hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. But now it's not that they were accepting these things. They were actually holding this doctrine. They were teaching these things. They were living these things. And this them that it's talking about here are the devils there that are preaching those things. There are devils in pulpits today. There were devils in pulpits back then. I think they're more prevalent today in a lot of ways. But it's there. And this was the beginning again of the laity, the beginning of the clergy. That's what Nicolaitans meant. It was over the people, to have power over them. Think of what churches are trying to do to people. God is the only power that you're under. Do you understand that? You're not under the power of anybody in this world. You don't have to go to somebody to confess your sins. I don't have any other mediator between God and man except the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Okay? We're going to read about, Lord willing, tonight, and I think we can get there in Thyatira, how it even continues on down. That clergy completely takes over. It completely strangles. And I'll give you hints and types and signs, and then you can figure out, but I'm sure the Lord will have me tell you, who is this today? What is this great whore that's out there? Who is this Jezebel that's fornicating with these people? It's obvious. By the grace of God, we need to stand. I'm going to tell you there's going to be a day when people stand that they're going to be persecuted for saying these types of things. I don't know if you know up there in Boulder, they even passed a law about people that are talking hate. The council did that. If you're talking hate and they believe that you're talking hateful things, they can call and you can be cited for that. You can actually be arrested now. How far we've come. I think they were doing that back in Russia about 40, 50 years ago. That's where it starts. I'm crazy, aren't I? Born in the wrong time. All right. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And let me tell you something. You go to Revelation 19:15, and we'll look at this real quick. You do not want the Lord to fight against you with the sword of his mouth. That's not where we want to go with this. But 19:15, it says, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." And this is getting into the wonderful time, and it is a wonderful time, of the Battle of Armageddon, because he's wrapping it up. Hallelujah. And he's going to take his throne about that time. But these are the things when he comes and he fights. Hallelujah. Let him divide the things. Be submissive to it. It cuts. It's going to cut you. The Word of God is going to cut deep. It's going to take the things out by the grace of God that don't need to be there. And he's going to cut you and cut you and cut you by the grace of God until you're ready to go. Hallelujah. He's the author and finisher of our faith, isn't he? Hallelujah. Amen. So he's going to put in there exactly what we'll let him to put in there. And he wants to have it all. He wants the very fullness of God in each one of us. So again, that's what it's talking about there. You better repent quickly, or I'll fight against them with the sword of my mouth. I want to stand here by the grace of God and be submissive to him, to allow him to do the cutting that he needs. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. See, again and again, we're going to hear this same call. He that hath an ear, let him hear what he's saying. Listen to this. Listen to these words. Don't just blow them off. Don't ignore these things. Listen to what God is telling you. Listen to the Word of God. It'll work effectually in your life if we'll apply it to us, as opposed to just saying, well, I've heard that. I was studying again for this Sunday. We could read this thing, this wonderful Word of God. We could read this a million times over. Until you believe it, it's never going to take effect in your life. It's not going to ever take effect. You have to believe it. This is the hearing that it's talking about. Listen to those words. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Now let's talk about the manna. The manna speaks of the Word of God. The manna was abundant. It was put out there for those children in the wilderness in the morning. And it was wonderful. They would go and gather that up and they would eat. And it was so abundant. But you'll notice here, it's hidden manna. It's hard to find in Pergamos. There's a famine for the Word of God, is what it's saying here. There's a famine for the Word of God, the deep things of God anymore in this world. There really are. It's not prevalent. It's not spoken. But I believe in a lot of ways, as these wonderful ones, they spoke in other tongues. Those ones that came out of there, I think it was in the hills of Kentucky and everything. It was pretty quiet in this nation for quite a few years, wasn't it? And then there was this resurgence. I believe that God was just coming in here in his ultimate amazing grace. And he said, maybe this is my last pour on right now. And I believe it's about over. He's finishing it up. He's finishing it up. Praise his name. But again, this is hidden manna. Thank God that we have abundant manna where we fellowship with Him today in this wonderful church and the other churches by the grace of God that we associate with. And we'll give Him a white stone. In the Old Testament times and throughout this time that it's talking about here, when they would have somebody come up for trial, if they were innocent, if they found them innocent, the jury, they would cast out a white stone, and that would show that they were innocent. If they were guilty, it would be a black stone that they would throw out there, and the person would be guilty. You can see here that the Lord is giving them the stone of innocence, and He's saying that in Me you are clean, in Me you are free, in Me, hallelujah, My blood has made the atonement. And in that stone it says here, a new name written which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. And praise God, there's a reward for these ones that come out from among this and continue on by the grace of God and revive those things. But you can see that the reward is much less. If we go over to the Church of Philadelphia, instead of a new name written that no one knows, you'll see over here that it is a name that is written, hallelujah, in the 12th verse. It says, I'm going to make you a pillar. I don't want to give too much of this away, but hallelujah, what a wonderful thing. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. You go read that, and that's the bride adorned. She's seen as the New Jerusalem. My wife, her name's Mrs. Odorcio. By the grace of God, I want to have the name of New Jerusalem on me. I do. That's the bridal name. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, if we will take heed to this call and have a little strength and keep thee faith, huh? And finish the course with joy and be looking and loving His appearing. It's for us. Isn't that wonderful? That crown is for us. All right, let's get into Thyatira here. I think we can delve into this and get a few things done tonight. Thyatira is the continuing decline from even Pergamos. We're going down to even a lesser rank of reward, a lesser rank of Christianity here in this. And Thyatira is the epitome of legality. It means the sacrifice of labor. And it says here, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God. Now listen to this salutation. Who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Now I am so thankful that by the grace of God, I see him as a lamb slain, aren't you? Isn't this amazing how our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is the same person. But when they see him like this, and you're catching his wrath, you know, people mock God. They're serving something. And you'll meet people that'll say even, you know, I'm not talking about the ones that say, well, I've been good and I'm going to meet God. There's people that are so defiant. They say, well, I don't care. I'm going to, as Brother John said the other night in his message, and I so appreciated that on Sunday night, but about how you get people say, well, I'm going to go to hell and I'll be fine in hell and all that. Well, I'll even go a little bit further. Okay, you might be fine in hell, but there's a thing called the lake of fire, and I'm going to guarantee you, you are not going to be fine there. And I know you're not going to be fine in hell either. I'm just being a little bit facetious. But I'm going to tell you something. The lake of fire that God has prepared for those that have rejected His Son is going to be the most horrendous thing that you could ever imagine. I don't even know what it's going to be about. But I know it's going to be a judgment that's going to be worthy of that judgment, just as the reward is going to be worthy for the reward. His Son's going to be justified. His Son is going to be magnified. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth on this earth when they see that. What comes over there, I can't even imagine. Can't even imagine. I get chills just thinking about the poor souls that have rejected the call and the freedom and the beauty of this wonderful, loving Lamb. And He came as your Lamb. And He came as your Lamb. But unto these folks, it's going to be judgment. And He says, I know thy works. And He knew all these works, didn't He, of every one of these churches. And charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Oh, Let me tell you something. We got works and works and works and works. She's glorifying in her works. Again, Thyatira means the sacrifice of labor, the epitome of legality. So let's go back and look and see what this really means here. I know thy works of self-love. I know thy works of service in self. I know thy works of faith in self. I know thy works of patience in self. And I know thy works of flesh. She is completely consumed in herself. She's completely consumed in her self-righteousness. Let's go on. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. And I don't know if you remember about Jezebel, but she was married to Ahab. She was the wickedest of wicked could be. That's why they say, oh, you Jezebel, that's pretty rotten, ladies, when they call you that. You better not let them do that to you. She was eventually eaten by the dogs, and I think they just found her head. But she was wicked. She went after those prophets. She destroyed them. Old Elijah, he sure feared her. God had to really revive him, didn't he? Even after he so wonderfully defeated those prophets of Baal and cut them up and slew them and did all that. And he said, where's your God? Somebody was kind of kidding with me. I shouldn't say they were kidding with me. They were saying, sometimes you find things a little funny about things. I said, well, you know what? I think my Lord found a lot of things funny about things. And he says, is your God out there going to the bathroom? I think that was pretty funny. I think that's mighty funny. That was what he said about Baal, didn't he? Remember that statue kept falling down every day? Kept falling down every day? I think those things are kind of funny. I don't know about you. God's not going to be mocked. He'll mock your God sometimes. Just to kind of wake you up because He loves you. But I'm going to tell you this. It was so wonderful because he encouraged Elijah. And he said, now come on, brother. He said, don't you be afraid of this woman. I'm going to feed you. And he fed him the cake and did all those things and brought him up. And hallelujah, he brought him in there. And it was mighty that the Lord worked in him like that. But this Jezebel again was so wicked. And she called herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. She presents herself a virgin. Jezebel means without cohabitation. That means that she is celibate, that she is chaste, that she's presenting herself, that she is pure. And yet she's the great whore. I wonder who that could be. Let's read on. All right. If you go over to Matthew 13:33, let's turn there for a moment. Matthew 13:33. This is the parable of the leaven. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Leaven always speaks of evil doctrine, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. See, she's deceitful. She's wicked. She hid it in there. She kind of mixed it in there. Huh? What about these churches? Mainly church, that brings in these certain doctrines. And it's their doctrine. It is. Where'd they get infant baptism? People say, oh, well, you shouldn't be so hard on that. That's kind of a nice thing. It can be the absolute most wicked thing because it can rob people from thinking that that's actually what saved them. And they never gave their heart to the Lord because of it. What do you think of that? You ever thought of it that way? It's the truth. It's just a wet baby. There's nothing in the Word of God. We dedicate babies here. And that's just a showing of faith that they're trusting God, that by the grace of God, we can commit a child like you did that young man there, wonderful, to the Lord. And God can do mighty things. It's wonderful what He can do for Hannah's and Ruth's and the different ones. It's wonderful what He can do. But I'm going to tell you, that stuff ain't going to get it done. What about confessing my sins to somebody? Why do I need to do that? Is that in here? Is there another mediator between God and man besides Jesus Christ? Who and what is the bride of Christ? Is it a group of men and women who have decided not to marry in this world? That's what they say. Where is it in this word? It's not here. It's not. It is what it is. Again, God hates the deeds. He loves the people. However Christ is preached, I do therein do rejoice. There's different ones that are preaching salvation. It's wonderful. But don't be misled. The stronghold of that is not about that. I don't read anything in my word about a co-redeemer. I don't. I don't read anything about the mother of Jesus, Mary, being anything more, which is a wonderful more. She was chosen, praise God. But she was favored, praise God. But I know I'm favored too. And all of His children are favored. By the grace of God, He chose me. He chose you too. And I pray that Mary may have seen some of the deeper things of God. I don't know. That's between her and the Lord. Maybe so. She was there and I believe she got filled with the Holy Spirit. Once that happened, you never know what could happen. And she hung around some pretty wonderful people. Huh? I believe it. I believe that God had something very special for her. Hallelujah. But this is what this is talking about. She presents herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, like we said, leaving the truth, leaving that follow a lie, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, which was the same thing as Pergamos, but it got worse. It got into worshiping. It gets into worshiping saints. It gets into thinking that somebody is more special because they have a place in the clergy or the laity, which is the very thing that he said he hated. I read this and I would think, how in the world could anybody get into that? You see what I'm saying? You know why? Because they don't know. And then when they know, they have ears and they hear not, don't they? They have eyes and they see not. They just don't want to believe it. But I really believe, by the grace of God, it's just because they keep it quiet. They keep it kind of under wraps. But everything, every single thing, again, that they may think that they're tricky or different things like that, well, we can put it over the people and all that. The Bible already told me you're going to do that anyways. It's truth. It's the absolute truth. Yes. I gave her space to repent of her fornication and she repented not. It's not going to happen. Can you imagine that? That's pretty finite. Very few times does the Bible really talk about things in that way. She's not going to repent. There's a wonderful God's grace out there that's telling this, and again, this isn't a person, this is a religion. It's a religion. And she repented not. She wouldn't come out of it. She loved herself so much. She thought so highly of what she's built and done, and the self-righteousness, and all of these different things. I've got it done. That's what it became. That's what it has become. And she's not going to repent. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and then that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now you think about this fornication, this adultery that's been going on with these other churches. Think about it. I'm going to just have to, I guess, name some different religions and just kind of let you think. Okay? You have Catholicism. Roman Catholicism, let's just call it that. What it is. Then you have Episcopalian. How much difference? I know a little bit about that. Not much. People just wanted to get married. Come on now. Stay with me. Okay. Then down from that, we've got Lutheran. Lutherans used to have wonderful truth in that meeting. Think of all the different things that they've brought into the church that used to not be there, that are from Roman Catholicism. Infant baptism used to not be there. Did you know that? It's coming in. Now I'll just get to the chase. They have these big organizations now where, organized events where we're going to have all faith, all these different things. Baptists and the Roman Catholics are getting together in a big way in this earth today. Never would have thought it, even 20, maybe even 10 years ago. It's going on. It's a whole compromise. It is. I'm not against any people or any person. I hope you understand that. I'm not saying, well, just because we're at Living Waters Tabernacle, that's the best place to be and the greatest place to be. No, the greatest and the best place to be is be in accordance with the Word of God. That's what this is about. This isn't about religions. Well, my church believes this. I don't care what your church believes. I don't. I believe what the Bible says. Had somebody tell me the other day, well, you're a group of people that worship Paul. We're not a people that worship Paul. You know what bothers them? Is the Word of God tells us to follow Paul as he followed Christ. What bothers them is it says that the gospel that was given, that his gospel is going to judge the intents of the heart of man. That's what it's going to do. That's what the Word of God tells me. So you don't like it, are we going to get rid of Corinthians and Romans and Ephesians and Philippians and all of his epistles? No, I didn't mean that, but we'll just take things out there we like. Oh, we like to talk about 1 Corinthians 13. We like some of this different stuff. What are you about? Are you about all of it? By the grace of God, I want to be about all the truth. And it's not about I'm right, you're wrong. It's about the Word of God. Nothing stands before that. It just is. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's what we want to be. I want to be rewarded because I diligently sought Jesus and His fullness. Praise God. Bear with me just a few more minutes. We'll stay a little bit over time. Is that okay? We'll finish up. I think the Lord's got our attention tonight, so let's just keep it going here. All right. And I'll hurry along here. If you turn over to Revelation 17:4, I'm just going to note these things and maybe read them quickly here. But it says, and the woman was arrayed. This is the harlot, the great whore, this Jezebel. I'll just give you a little precursor of Lord willing, if Jesus tarry, what will happen. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Now again, this is this church, this Jezebelian church, and that's exactly what it is. This is what she looks like. I got a pretty good picture in my mind. I think I see her on TV sometimes. And upon her forehead was written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots, abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. It's a pretty spooky person here, I'm going to tell you that. She's catching the fancy of a lot of folks. But again, this is what she is. This is what she looks like. You speak of the gold, the chalice, you speak of the purple, you speak of all of that stuff. I'm going to tell you, it's none other than what you're seeing in Rome. That's exactly the picture that we have. I believe very much so we're in that time. I think it's been with us for many years. We've seen the different things that it's done. It seems that God in His grace, again, has given her space, and certain ones have come out, and certain different parishes and different things as well, too, have come out. But there's a Jezebel in there that's ruling it, and it's the enemy, and it's got a great hold on that place. And I will kill her children. This is speaking of the second death in Revelation 20, verse 6. See, when He kills with death, that's the second death. We read about that last week, but you can make note of that. See, it's appointed unto man once to die, the Word of God says. But we also know that the Christian doesn't die. That death has been, victory over death was done when Jesus Christ died on that cross and ascended. But there is a second death. that those that do not believe in Christ, that's the death, that's the killing that this is talking about here. And all the churches shall know that I am He which searches the reins and the hearts. And we read that in Jeremiah 17:10, where He knows. He searches the reins of the heart. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. And that's Revelation 20:12. And what He's talking about here is when He judges man according to their works, not the working of faith, you're guilty. You're done. And every one of those that you'll read in the 20th verse of Revelation end up in one place. And that's the lake of fire. They're standing before that great white throne at judgment. By the grace of God, His children will never stand there. You'll never be before that throne. He's judging you today by the grace of God what reward you're going to take. Isn't that just refreshing? Doesn't that make you just so thankful and free? You're not in fear. You're not in condemnation. Now, don't let the devil reign in your life. Don't let him lead you around. I think of those poor kids that have, sometimes you see them and they have that nose ring in their nose. Just feel like you're just being led around like that kind of stuff. And you know what? God loves them too. And He died for them just as much as He did for me. Yeah. It's just that they're just kind of being duped a little bit. Pray for them. Sure, it makes your stomach turn a little bit, but pray for them. Huh? Praise God. All right. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. In this precious, see how He says, and I will kill, and I will cast her into this, and everything. But look at how it changes in this 24th verse. This is to the believer that's in Thyatira. But unto you, I say. Isn't that beautiful how Jesus Christ is? He'll find you. Hallelujah. He does. You love Him. He knows you. He knew that Lot was there. That's a beautiful story about Lot. Let it be beautiful to your ears. Lot didn't deserve it at all, did he? But none of us do. But he certainly didn't. He decided he was going to go right down to Sodom and Gomorrah and just live there and be icky. Isn't that what he was? Yep, I'm going to be icky. He just decided to be icky. God said, you're my child and I love you. I'm still going to protect you. I'm still going to save you. But look what he squandered. Look at the beauty that Abraham lived. And look at the loss that Lot lived. See, that's what we don't want. I want to live profitable. I want to live benefit and beauty of Jesus Christ. But as many as have not this doctrine, any other doctrine besides the doctrine of Jesus Christ, which you'll find in 2 John 10, and the doctrine that Paul brought in, he said, oh, you know my doctrine, and that's 2 Timothy 3:10. Any other doctrine besides that doctrine is not the doctrine of grace. Did you know that? It's not. Because you cannot have grace without having Jesus Christ. You can't have it. Hallelujah. And which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak. And I thought John brought it so beautifully out in Sunday night service. The most repugnant, reputable thing to God is self-righteousness. The depths of Satan is self-righteousness. The depths of Satan is when people can get up there and because I have done my work for the day, oh, I've went in and I've babbled my vain repetition. Oh, I've said that prayer that's in that book. How many times did I say it today? And I counted them. How many did I count? They're on the chain, the beads I got there. See, I can say these things. My family came out of it. Yep. How many Hail Marys did I do today? And it's not just there. I can go into Mormonism. That's the epitome of that same stuff. It's just an offshoot. How much self-righteousness can I meet God with? As much as you want. And He ain't going to accept a bit of it. Matter of fact, He hates it. And if you don't have any blood on your life, I'm going to tell you, you are in trouble. So in trouble. This is what this is getting at. The depths of Satan. As I speak, I will put none other burden upon you. But that which ye have already have, hold fast till I come. That's Hebrews 2:1. I love that. It's remember those things. Don't let them slip, the Word of God says there. And these have such a little reward here. But even God is concerned with the little reward. He wants you to you know, keep what you have at least. Hold that fast what you have at least. It may not be a crown, I'm telling you, in a lot of ways, but I want you to keep what you have by the grace of God in a sense of the profitable things. This isn't talking about salvation. I want you to understand that. You have salvation, it's forever. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. This is just the reward that he's talking about. Don't let the reward slip. And it's very limited to these people. And he that overcome and keeps my works, see, not their works, but now it's his works. And what are his works? Their grace and faith. Unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. You'll read of this is that this is talking about the two witness company. It's Revelation 11:3. You may make note of that. And this is the last out company. And they go through much tribulation. We're going to read throughout this tribulation time that there's different groups of people that are taken into heaven at different times. This group of people out of this church is the lowest rank of believers. They're going to be resurrected at the last time. They're the ones that will go through the most tribulation. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Now again, this now is talking back again about the ones that don't believe. This comes from Psalms 2:9. It speaks of the heathen that he's going to break like that. And I will give him the morning star. That's the 28th verse. The morning star speaks of Christ. It's the proof again that this is at the end of the tribulation, because this is the promise to Israel. And that 144,000 are towards the end of it as well too. And you'll find that in Numbers 24:17 and Revelation 22:16. And finally he has this commending to them, or this call to them. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He loves them. He loves his people. And he's just calling them. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And he's saying that to us, brothers and sisters. Come out from among them and be ye separate. I'm coming soon. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take that crown. Don't grow weary. Don't be drunken in the night. Don't be sleeping in the night. Be awake. That thief is coming. Hallelujah. Like a thief in the night, that's how he's going to come. Praise God. Let's pray.